the judge now infamous for his handling of a rape case involving a 14-year-old victim, speaks out against his suspension. Good evening, I'm Corin Cates-Carney.
And I'm Conrad Scheid, and that's our top story tonight on Montana Evening Edition. A 16-year-old from Helena is sentenced for his role in phoning in bomb threats.
And a property tax for Missoula's residents is proposed to fund a new park. A judge facing suspension for saying a 14-year-old rape victim appeared older than her chronological age says he believes the penalty isn't warranted. Judge G. Todd Baugh of Billings proposed today in a written response to the Montana Supreme Court that it withdraw its order for a 31-day suspension. But he added he won't remove the consent to judicial discipline he previously gave. Baugh says he found no other cases in which the Supreme Court went beyond the recommendations from the State Judicial Standards Commission, as it did in ordering his suspension in addition to the commissioner's recommendation of public censor. Baugh suggested the court relied on incomplete media reports in deciding the punishment. The judge was removed because of his comments in the case of a Billings teacher who raped a student.
In other news from around the state, the Montana Supreme Court has upheld a lower court ruling granting a new trial to a man charged in the July 2005 beating death of a former chairman of the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribe. Clifford Oldhorn was convicted of deliberate homicide in the death of 73-year-old Harold Mitchell Jr. and sentenced to 100 years in prison. He appealed, arguing statements he made to investigators shouldn't have been used against him because he believed he had immunity. The Montana Supreme Court said a letter from Lake County Attorney Mitch Young explaining the immunity agreement contained legal distinctions that are, quote, not readily apparent even to those trained in the law, unquote, and that statements made by officers led Oldhorn to believe he would not be prosecuted. Prosecutors have said without Oldhorn's statements, they likely couldn't gain a conviction.
A 16-year-old Helena boy has been given a suspended sentence for coordinating with a California boy who called in a series of bomb threats in Helena schools in March. The Independent Record reports the boy pleaded guilty to two counts of felony intimidation. Youth Court Judge Kathy Seeley sentenced him on Wednesday to the Pine Hills Youth Correctional Facility until his 18th birthday, but then suspended the sentence. Seeley also ordered him to perform 200 hours of community service, write an apology letter, and report to a probation officer until he turns 21. Prosecutors say the Helena boy met the 14-year-old Dublin, California boy while playing video games online, and the California boy called in three bomb threats. He is on probation after pleading guilty to three felony counts of making false bomb reports.
A Missoula County Sheriff's deputy is suing the county, alleging she was discriminated against by officers investigating the fact that she and a married officer kissed at her residence while their married officer was on duty. Deputy Rebecca Burkett first complained to the Montana Human Rights Bureau, alleging internal investigators kept pressing her for more details about the kiss, which she said violated her privacy. County officials said they believed she had lied because her statements and those of the unidentified married officer appeared rehearsed. The Missoulian reports the Bureau ruled in favor of the Sheriff's Department, saying Burkett and the married other officer received the same two-shift suspension without pay for violating the department's so-called relationships with married persons policy. County commissioners eventually rescinded her suspension and removed the investigation from her personnel file.
The Montana Department of Corrections has announced a four-month study is underway to evaluate the offender population and procedures in order to address overcrowding in county jails and treatment programs. Department of Corrections Director Mike Batista says this overcrowding is putting an increased amount of pressure on treatment program capacity and the staff who manage county jails, where people often have to wait several days to be put into state prisons.
On the average, I think we are looking at about 25 days. And as the systems becomes more full, as it has as of late, that number is likely to go up. The cost is really to the Department of Corrections and the state. So the longer that we have offenders that are destined to DOC programs waiting in local facilities, the greater the cost to Department of Corrections.
Of the more than 13,000 people in the Montana correction system, roughly 20% are currently held in county jails or treatment programs. The Pew Charitable Trust, in cooperation with the National Governors Association, are providing the study at no cost to the state of Montana. Pew Charitable Trust is a nonprofit organization that routinely funds research in public policy around the U.S. Together with two organizations, will provide a research team as well as a consultant with 35 years of experience in corrections. The team is already analyzing data about Montana's offender population and will eventually travel to Montana in person to evaluate how offenders come into and move through Montana's criminal justice system. Batista began arrangements for the study back in August of 2013 while attending a justice reinvestment conference in South Dakota. He says the conference piqued the Montana Department of Corrections' interest in a number of justice reforms being discussed around the country.
That, coupled with the discussions that we've had internally about where we're at in terms of resources to manage our population in the immediate future and projecting out over the next 8 to 10 years, the conversation around the country is focused on violent versus nonviolent offenders and the appropriate placement. Are nonviolent offenders better suited for community placement, community supervision, reserving prison beds for more violent offenders? So it's one of those things where I think states around the country are trying to figure out, are we making good, sound policy decisions about crime and corrections?
The study is expected to continue through late October.
Missoula County Commissioners this week voted to put a $42 million regional park bond on November's ballot. John O'Connor is a member of Friends of Fort Missoula Regional Park, a local organization of regional park supporters. O'Connor says that this idea has been around for years and includes several amenities, including expanded trails.
So let's get some seed money to connect communities, to bring people together. At the same time, let's address the aging infrastructure in the city park system. You know, our city budget process takes care of maintenance in parks, and there's a special parks district that was created. Unfortunately, the money that was raised in that district was sort of taken out of the general budget of Parks and Rec, and so there's no money to address actual playgrounds and aging infrastructures. We want the folks in this county and the city to come together and say, let's do this together. So we want to address at least 10 playgrounds in the city. And then we want to finally develop the Fort Missoula Regional Park Project.
That project is something that's been in the works since 1998.
That's both a county and a city project. There's county-owned land and city-owned land. It's about 145 acres. It'll be beautiful when that's complete. There'll be four new playgrounds. I think it's about 5 miles of new trails, a dog park, a pavilion that'll be bigger than Karis Park's pavilion, and then the athletic facilities, a new softball complex, and 11 new state-of-the-art flat multi-use fields that are going to allow us to host sporting events and other events that we just can't do right now.
If passed, the bond proposal would tack on $36.76 annually to a property appraised at around $200,000. O'Connor says most Missoulians will think the idea is worth their hard-earned money.
We love our parks and trails in Missoula and in Missoula County. People want more of them. Our research says that people are willing to pay for them. We think that parks and trails add an essential component to the vibrant nature of our community, to our vitality, to public health. And what I would say to anybody who's a detractor is that there are a lot of things that we all pay for that help make our community better. Whether we individually use those things or not, they contribute to what makes Missoula and Missoula County such a special place to live. And we believe that people will support this.
The Missoula Regional Park Special Obligation Bond will appear on Missoula's general election ballot on November 4th.
Gallatin County officials have released the name of a 48-year-old Bozeman man who was struck and killed by a semi-trailer while riding a bicycle on a fronted street near Bozeman. The coroner's office says Kevin Patrick O'Brien died at the hospital after the crash on Wednesday morning. He had previously lived in California. Police say O'Brien was riding his bike eastbound at 6:35 a.m. Wednesday when he swerved into the road in front of a semi. Officers say the driver of the semi was unable to avoid hitting him.
A 33-year-old man who is required to register as a violent offender has been arrested in Great Falls on suspicion of stabbing another man in the arms and abdomen. The Great Falls Tribune reports Christopher R. Plouffe faces a charge of felony assault with a weapon. Charging documents say Officer Rob Beal encountered Matthias Blackhoop before 5 a.m. today. He said he had been in an altercation and that Plouffe had stabbed him with a black and silver folding knife in the apartment where Plouffe lives. Blackhoop was taken to the hospital. His injuries did not appear life-threatening. Beal located Plouffe in an alley behind the apartment building. Court records say he had blood on a folding knife in his pocket that matched Black Hoop's description.
And now for tonight's forecast. In Arleigh, it's 65, in Columbia Falls, it's 66, in Anaconda, it's 55 degrees, and in Lolo, it's 67, and in Helena, it's 72 degrees. West of the Divide tonight, rain showers are likely along with isolated thunderstorms with lows in the 40s. Saturday should be mostly cloudy with a chance of rain showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms with highs in the 60s. Sunday will be partly cloudy with a slight chance of rain showers and highs in the mid-60s to lower 70s. In central Montana tonight, look for mostly cloudy skies with scattered showers and thunderstorms in the evening with lows to 45 to 55. Saturday will be mostly cloudy with a chance of rain showers through the day and thunderstorms in the afternoon with highs 60 to 70. Sunday you can expect partly cloudy skies and a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. In southwest Montana tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Saturday there'll be more clouds and a chance of rain showers through the day and highs in the 60s. Sunday should be partly cloudy with a slight chance of rain showers and temperatures remaining in the 60s. And now for the editorial comments of Tom Roberts.
The Commonwealth Fund is a large organization based in New York City which supports studies and projects aimed at improving our national healthcare system. They're quite well known and are involved in a number of areas. One area of research is international comparison of healthcare systems. Just last week, the Commonwealth Fund released their fifth research paper comparing the U.S. healthcare system to 10 other developed countries, including Australia, Canada, England, and a number of other European systems. The findings were essentially the same as previous studies done in 2010, 7, 6, and 4. The U.S. healthcare system, again, ranks last when compared to all these other developed nations. The study uses data from multiple sources, including surveys from patients and physicians. Healthcare systems are graded in terms of quality of care, access, efficiency, equity, and healthy lives. In terms of effectiveness, which is a component of quality, the U.S. is third in comparison to other countries. This is our highest score overall. However, we rank sixth in terms of coordination, meaning how well different parts of the healthcare system talk to each other. And we are seventh in terms of safety, which grades whether an encounter with the healthcare system is likely to lead to additional problems. Canada ranked worst in timeliness of care. The U.S. spends twice as much per person as the other healthcare systems, and Americans are the most likely to have difficulty obtaining healthcare because of affordability. The U.S. is ranked as the least efficient when compared to all other healthcare systems. We have high administrative costs and hassles, high use of the ER for avoidable problems, and frequently duplicate medical testing. Poor people are less likely to access medical care in the U.S. than in any other system. When population health is compared, the U.S. is the least healthy overall. Infant mortality is highest in the U.S., and we are most likely to die from an illness that was potentially treatable. Life expectancy at birth is lowest, and at age 60 is second lowest. People in the U.S. are most likely to die from violence and automobile accidents, and we have the highest incidence of AIDS. We in the U.S. are more likely to die from alcohol and drug abuse, we are the most obese, and we have the highest incidence of diabetes. We also have the highest incidence of chronic lung disease and are second most likely to die from heart disease. Of course, health status overall is not necessarily directly related to medical care. The health of a population is related to many factors, including diet, activity, the environment, and a wide variety of social support issues, including decisions made by our elected officials. If economic development is a higher priority than supporting a healthy living environment, we will always lag behind in healthy lives compared to other countries with different objectives. The fact that we rank last in this thoughtful and thorough analysis, and that we have been last in every prior comparison, stands in stark contrast to politicians who say that we have the best healthcare system in the world. We clearly do not. What we do have is a very expensive system with serious problems related to safety, coordination, efficiency, and access. The report does point out that a major part of our low comparative performance stems from the fact that these other countries have all devised ways to provide universal access to healthcare as a fundamental component of their systems. The authors express hope that changes brought about by the Affordable Care Act will improve access in the United States. However, despite this opportunity, access to health care for the truly poor is still limited in Montana and a number of other states because of our legislature's unwillingness to use available federal dollars to provide these folks with health insurance. Medical care in the U.S. fundamentally is still based on making money. It is very telling that a for-profit, out-of-state organization is running our state employee health clinics, and another is in the process of purchasing a Missoula hospital. A new once-a-day oral medicine, which eradicates hepatitis C, is priced at $1,000 a pill, or $90,000 for the 3-month full treatment course. The cost to manufacture these 90 pills is about $250. Whatever your thoughts, it's clear that we have a lot of opportunities for improvement. Thanks for listening. This is Dr. Tom Roberts.
Tom Roberts is one of several commentators on Montana Evening Edition. The views expressed don't necessarily represent those of this station. If you have a comment, you can send it via our webpage at mtpr.org or on Montana Public Radio's Facebook page. Montana Evening Edition is also archived on our website. I'm Conrad Scheid.
And I'm Corin Cates Carney. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.